as you know, we have our You Belong campaign going on right now. It's the quarter of our community life and our relationship development. We want to focus on this because we believe that a strong community, a healthy family and relationship in a church is really what holds us together. I mean, we can have great preaching, but if we leave and we never interact and we never have one another praying for each other and we never care for one another when we need love, we really don't have a church. We have a speaker, right? But community is important in life groups and relationship. And so we talked a couple of weeks back with me about what we do when we have walls in relationships and how it keeps us away from the very community that we need. And that God really wants to show us how to have communion with one another, how to love each other, and how to share what God's doing in our lives and just be with one another and support one another. And this week, we're going to talk a little more about that night, the Last Supper, because Jesus in that night really modeled for us a great example of community. And it was like a life group, where he shared communion, he prayed for his disciples, he served them. And the ushers right now are just passing out a little take-home. They're going to give you a towel, and we're going to talk about a servant's heart this morning. And you're going to all take home a towel to remind you of what we're going to talk about today. So just take one and pass it on, and if there's any extra, just keep, you know, yeah, I love that. Toss them over, and I'll get my little table together. You know, I can't compete with the boat and the buckets of water. But I can bring some props just to kind of help us get... Yeah, I probably need help. Thank you. Thank you. Just right here would be fine. I know, it's a lot heavier than it looks. Right, Trina? Thank you. So everybody will have a towel, and this will just be a reminder of what it takes to serve. And up in the upper room at the Last Supper, Jesus took a towel. And it's really interesting to look at that picture of that week and the weeks coming up before the Passover. I went back and I looked. I thought, what were the disciples thinking? What were they ready for that night up there in that upper room? And as I read through the chapters in John and Mark and Matthew and Luke, I began to see that what they expected didn't happen. And what they thought was going to happen, Jesus like flipped it around. And it was completely different. See, they thought they were going into Jerusalem to take over. They thought Jesus was about to do what he was called to do and be the king of Israel. And so what I did is I took what I read and I just wrote a little paraphrase. It's the Mary paraphrase, not scripture. Please don't accuse me. But I want to read it to you because it gives you a picture of what the disciples were thinking about when they walked up those stairs to that upper room and had that dinner with Jesus. Is that okay? So looking through the eyes of the disciples during the few weeks before Passover, we see the momentum building. People were talking. There was a murmuring and a rumbling about Jesus being the promised Messiah. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and he was really dead for 3 days. So this was a miracle that people were talking about. Many, because of that miracle, decided to believe that Jesus was the king of Israel. The tide was turning. The disciples could have thought, this is redemption time. This is why we've been hanging out with him for 3 years. And he is about to change everything. Finally, Jesus was going to take over. So these are the things that are going through the disciples' minds. Finally, they would be free from Roman oppression. After all, his fame was starting to build. Accommodations were starting to get better, right? They went to dinner at Mary and Martha's house and Lazarus' house, and Mary took that expensive perfume, and she broke it, and she washed the feet of Jesus. You know that perfume in Wycliffe today would have been worth $48,000? One bottle. So the disciples were seeing this, and they were going, wow, this is happening. This is happening, right? More and more people were believing in Jesus. The very next day confirmed what they were thinking. On their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of the Passover, they were met by this huge crowd. People with palm branches, worshiping Jesus, throwing them at his feet, right? Screaming and singing the song over him for the Passover that declared him as king. So the disciples are seeing this. They must have had so many scenarios running through their mind that he's about to take over and we're going to be a part of it. We're going to be sitting right next to him. We're going to be ruling and reigning with the king of Israel. When they arrived at the city center, people were everywhere. See, everybody went to Jerusalem to worship at the Passover. And they met, Philip there met Greek Jews that came and heard about Jesus and said, I need you to introduce us. I need you to show us and tell us who Jesus is. And so he met with Andrew and he said, people want to know who he is. He's got a following, even outside of Jerusalem. So they went to Jesus and Jesus answered like, yeah, I'll be glorified, but not the way you think. Not the way that you think. Jesus answered and they were a little confused because he started talking about dying and being raised up and he was heading another direction and the disciples probably looked at each other and said, we don't really get it, but okay. But still they were looking forward to that Passover meal. So the meal was prepared. The room was a private room borrowed from someone in the city. Kind of like our upper room up there. And they had been excited and watching and waiting to see what the night would hold. This was a special evening. The setting was prepared. They had a huge table, enough for 13 of them. And I'm sure that as they approached the table, they were really careful where they were going to sit. And it was a big deal back then, where you sat at the table said a lot about how you belonged. Who was going to sit next to Jesus? Who was going to be in that place of honor? And I'm sure their thoughts went back to James and John's mom, because you remember what happened a little bit before that. She asked Jesus to give her sons a special place. And all the disciples were like, how dare she? They were all angry and mad. So the seats were taken, and the disciples finally settled in for a dinner. And all of a sudden, they noticed Jesus taking off his robe. What was he doing? Why was he tying that towel around his waist? Wait a minute. No, he couldn't be doing this. Why was he pouring water into the basin? You know, they knew that this room was rented, and it was a custom for the servant of the house to come and wash everyone's feet when they came to dinner. And they were wondering who that would be. But they surely didn't think it would be Jesus. None of us expected this. We were all wondering which one of us would give in and do the dirty work, but none of us went to pick up the towel. Wow, this is embarrassing. This is humbling, they must have thought. Maybe it's because he overheard us again arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Maybe because he said the greatest among us should be like the youngest and the one who rules like the one who serves. Then he says, like I serve you, as he fell to his knees and began to wash my dirty feet. And it was such a beautiful picture of the servant's heart. What Jesus did for his disciples, even though he was their master, even though he was their teacher, he took the least role and he picked up that towel. And he got to the floor and he washed every single one of their feet. And I believe that Jesus, because he was the culture creator, and because he was building a kingdom that was upside down, didn't matter what the disciples thought was happening, at that moment, he made a statement and he said, that's not how my kingdom works. This is how my kingdom works. This is how, by serving one another, by loving one another, even if you're the greatest, by getting down on your knees and serving the least. And I believe that the disciples, even though they didn't understand, they knew that because Jesus was unpredictable and he was irresistible, they were going to follow and they were going to learn and they were going to try to understand how to create a culture of love and a culture of belonging. And that's what I believe our mission and our call is here in Wycliffe. Together. See, it can't just be my job. It can't just be Pastor Kayton's job or Pastor Mike and Trina's job or Pastor Patty and Pastor Lowell's job. It can't. It has to be all of us that are willing to take our part. Remember the whole body of Christ? We are each a part of the whole body of Christ, and we must pick up our towel and serve one another. It's what Jesus has called us to do. And I believe that when we do this together, we will build a community that all of Wycliffe will want to belong to. Not just in here, because we're not doing it for ourselves, are we? We're doing it so the world will know. So Jesus led as a servant, and he calls us to do the same. And instead of taking the time to admonish you and pass out clipboards and get you to fill all the positions in the church, because we do have a lot of positions here. We have a lot of pastoral care positions and children's positions and everything else. But you know what? It's not about that. It's not. Because we can serve all day long and still not have a servant's heart. We can have ministry all day long, and we can have our own ministry and belong to a ministry and be paid full time by a ministry and still not have a servant's heart. So this morning, we're going to talk about what it is and what Jesus said it is to have a servant's heart. And I believe that it talks about a towel, just like he picked up. But when we look at the way Jesus called us to serve, we got to get our towel dirty like he did. We got to get it dirty. And so that's what I want to show you today is the five towels of Jesus and the way he got them dirty. Okay? So the first towel is compassion. Compassion is the feeling of sympathy or empathy towards another and the action to do something to help. You know, sympathy and empathy don't mean a lot unless there's action behind it. And compassion actually means that. You can't have compassion without movement or doing something. And four times in the Gospels, Jesus was moved by compassion. Moved, meaning he did something after he felt an emotion. You know, a lot of times we hide from emotion. It's not good. Well, we're so emotional, right? But it's okay to have emotion. Jesus felt emotion. Let that emotion move us to do something. Let that emotion move us to love and serve one another in a real and tangible way. So he was moved by compassion when he saw the blind men and he healed them. Right? He was moved by compassion when he saw the hungry people on the hill and he moved and he gave them food. He was moved by compassion when he saw the people that needed to be taught and he taught them. And he was moved by compassion when he saw the people without a shepherd and he prayed for the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers. See, Jesus was moved by compassion. Compassion will require us to not only feel sorry for the hurting, but to get down into the mess with them and help. Now, I had a great privilege yesterday to be involved in the Victim to Survivor conference with Courtney Hauser, and I believe Courtney was here about a month ago. But she has a really great story in a book that she wrote about her childhood and how she was abused. And hurt growing up. And what she's done is she's committed to healing, not only in herself with the Lord, but also other women. And this conference was awesome. She got sponsors, and she had ladies there to serve and venues to serve. But the really cool part about it is that she rented a bus, and she sent that bus to a local shelter. And she went and got the ones that needed it the most. Not the ones that could sign up, not the ones that could pay for it, right? She went to get the ones that were broken in the middle right now. And I love that I was able to get a little part in just seeing it happen, seeing the women walk up crying, giving forgiveness to the ones that had hurt them. That's compassion. When we can serve the broken and the lowest and actually do something, right? Do something to see them helped. All the time, and I don't think any of us are can get away from this, but we all experience our compassion growing cold, right? Because the need is so great around us. Maybe we see too much and we just get cold and we just get kind of numb to it. Or we just assume, well, they're going to take advantage of me. And our compassion grows cold. And this morning, I just want to encourage all of us, let's keep a pulse on our compassion, making sure that we're still sensitive to the broken. We still notice the homeless, right? We still listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit so that when he says to give something, we're still willing to give. We're still willing to stop and talk to the one that's crying quietly in the grocery store. The compassion that moves us to do something, that's the towel of Jesus. And that's what he did. He lived that way. He lived that way. See, when the towel of compassion is used, and I believe that we can practice this, I believe that we can actually practice compassion. Guess who it works best on? People in our own home. Right? In the little ways. It stirs our hearts up, you know? Little things like, Mary, do you know where this thing is? I can't find it. I don't want to get off the couch. Do I really have to get up? Can you look not like a man, right? Ladies? But the compassion in our hearts to our own family is get up, go look, go serve, right? When it's used, this is what it looks like. And I'm going to try to do this with, oh no, I should probably put my gloves on because this is going to get really dirty. When compassion is used, when we get down in the dirt, in the mud, we end up serving like Jesus and we end up having a towel that's dirty. It's dirty with the compassion that Jesus lived with. It's dirty with the love that he's required us to serve with. These are what our towels should look like. And this is what the towel of compassion in our life should look like. This should be fun. Surrender is the next towel. Surrender really just talks about, do we have the true motive to serve? Have we surrendered our heart and we're just giving, we're not taking when we serve? You know, we can actually take when we serve. In Galatians 5:13, says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. And we've all experienced that freedom at salvation. It says, you've been called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge your flesh. Instead, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. You know, many people serve with a need for significance or a need for position or approval or praise. They got to see what I'm doing, right? I need that title. But that's not how Jesus served. He calls us to serve with surrender, to say, you know what? I'm serving because of who I am in Christ. I'm serving because I love Jesus and I love you sincerely. You know, John Maxwell, who's a great leader, he has a saying and he says, you can't have, or we want often, the title without the towel. We can't have the title without the towel. That's not how it works in the kingdom. It's upside down. In Romans 12, 1 through 9, Paul describes all of the gifts and the functions of the body of the Christ and how we all work together. But at the end, he declares, your love must be sincere. He says, your love must be sincere. When you are serving one another, it's got to be sincere. Because we'll just hurt each other if it's not. So we have to be honest with ourselves when we pick up our towel. And we have to surrender our needs for significance and position. We must only look for our significance from our position in Christ. It's only in him that we get our significance. Not in what we do for him. Then we can selfishly serve and surrender our need and serve with pure motives. And then we have the towel of Jesus. And we again get it dirty by surrendering our need for significance, right? And we wash those dirty feet. And we serve, surrendering our need for approval and our need for position. The next towel is the last. Jesus said it. He said, the first will be last and the last will be first. And while we serve, are we willing to take the last place? The back seat? Pick the worst job? You know, there's a beautiful story of Mother Teresa. Some of you may have heard this story, but I read a book by Shane Claiborne called Irresistible Revolution. Has anybody ever read that? It's a good book. It'll challenge you at every level. But he was actually an intern with Mother Teresa. Could you imagine that summer job? Like, really? I didn't believe it when I read it. I'm like, you're alive? You actually interned with Mother Teresa. But he went to Calcutta, India, and he had the great privilege of working alongside of her. And he wrote in his book that he noticed during the prayer time, because in that part of the country especially, they would again take off their shoes when they enter a home or when they pray. And he always noticed her feet were so deformed. And they were so, like, shriveled and broken and just not healthy. And in the book, he said, he finally asked, what's going on with her feet? Like, not her. He asked someone else that worked with him. And they said, well, you know what? Every time she gets a donation of shoes, because they rely on donations for everything, she'd always wait until the last pair was in the box. And then she'd take the shoes, no matter what size they were, no matter if they had good support, and she would wear those shoes. And it caused her feet to become deformed throughout the years. And I thought that was a beautiful example, beautiful, compelling story of how, you know what, when we serve, we should be willing to take the worst, to be the last, to prefer. You know, you always hear your mom when you're growing up, prefer your sister. It's like the worst thing in the world to hear when you're a kid. Prefer? Are you kidding me? That was mine, right? But it's the same thing with us. Let's prefer one another. Always be willing to take the last, to take the worst. And that's what Jesus did. He said, be the last. Only then you can be the first in the kingdom. And he got his towel dirty, and he got down, and he washed our feet. It's a beautiful picture of the servant's heart. Number four is sacrifice. The towel of sacrifice. And you look back at that Last Supper, like we talked about earlier, and we see that each disciple had an opportunity to grab a towel. It was custom. It wasn't a surprise that they were going to get their feet washed. It happened every time they ate, right? But no one picked up the towel. I wonder why. I wonder why nobody ran over there and grabbed the towel and began to do the dirty work. Why? Because it takes sacrifice. And sacrifice is not easy, is it? It always sounds better, like, ahead of time, and then when the time comes, you're like, oh, do I really need to do this? But it's okay to ask the question, as long as you still pick up the towel, and you do it with a good heart. We choose to serve, we'll often lose something, our time, right, our money, our vacation. I know we talk about Joshua Kids a lot, but it's like a hands-on thing for us. And every year we have camp. We've been doing it for about 23 years. And for about 20 years, anybody know Myron Board? He's over from our Loring location. But for 20 years, this man, he was Ohio State Trooper, retired now, and he works at Disney. For 20 years, he would find out when Joshua Kids camp was, and he would schedule his vacation to be there. And for 5 days, he would take 10 little boys into his cabin, and he would drag them around and take them to chapel and take them to lunch, and he would have his vacation time there. And I think that's just such a beautiful picture of sacrifice. Of sacrifice, because he earned that vacation, right? And he earned that time with his family, and his family made the sacrifice right along with him. But I remember one year, it was so funny, we thought we wanted to just reward him. We wanted to show him how much we appreciated him. So we prepared and planned this special date night during camp for his wife. And she came out, and another wife came out, and We surprised him after chapel and we sent him out for ice cream. And it was funny. Myron wasn't very excited. He loved his wife and they have a great marriage. But he determined he was making this sacrifice. It was his investment and his way to serve these kids. And he did. He had a great time, but he came back and he got right back in there, got his 10 little boys, and they began to finish out the time in camp. But even though it cost him time away from his family, he chose to make that sacrifice. A true servant picks up the towel of sacrifice. A lot of times we'll see new people coming into ministry, and whether it's like just a volunteer position or if it's a full-time position at our church or somewhere else, sometimes you almost see a light bulb go off and you kind of hear them go, "This isn't fun. Ministry's not fun." And we look at them, we're like, "No, it's not." It's sacrifice. Anytime we do anything, right, for the kingdom, it's sacrifice. And that's what Jesus calls us to do, is sacrifice. He didn't promise it would be fun. He didn't promise it would be easy. But he promised us that if we would get our towel dirty, that if we would put our towel in the dirt and make the sacrifice, that we would reap the benefits of being a servant in his kingdom, right? And the last and final one, and I'm not going to talk very long today, but the last and final one is to be the least. Jesus talks about it a lot, being the least of these. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto us. And that's how we have to serve, is with that heart, to serve the least of these. Leonard Bernstein, he's a celebrated orchestra conductor, was once asked, they asked him, "What's the hardest instrument to play?" And right away, without hesitation, you know what he said? "Second fiddle." He said, "Second fiddle is the hardest to play, because I can always get plenty of first violinists." He said, "But to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, or second French horn, or second flute, now that's a problem." And then he said, "But if no one plays second, we have no harmony." Isn't that cool? In Philippians 2, 1 through 8, and I'm not going to read all of it. I think I pulled it back down to verse 2. It says, "Come together in one mind and spirit and purpose, sharing the same love. Don't let selfishness and prideful agendas take over, but embrace true humility and lift your heads to extend love to others." This one's huge. Get beyond yourselves and protecting your own interests. Be sincere and secure your neighbor's interests first. In other words, adopt the mindset of Jesus, the anointed. Live with his attitude in your hearts. Remember, though he was in the form of God, he chose not to cling to equality with God, but he poured himself out to fill a vessel brand new, a servant in form of a man indeed, the very likeness of humanity. He humbled himself, obedient to death, a merciless death on the cross. So the towel of the least is shown in Jesus, in who he is. He left heaven, he left his place as God, and came down as a man to serve the least. He went to find fishermen, right? He went to find tax collectors, the ones that were despised. He went to find the lowest, and he served them on his knees, giving us the example. You know, the attitude is, "I don't do windows," right? Have you ever heard that? In church, we hear often, "I don't do children." Because it's hard, right? Go back to the towel of sacrifice. Let's pick this up again. It's messy. But can we serve with a, "I will do whatever it takes. Whatever you call me to do, Lord, I will do. I'll serve whoever you call me to serve. Let me see what you've asked me to do today." That's the thing. Like, we miss it sometimes, don't we? I know I do. I miss it. But we've got to be careful and guard ourselves from that attitude, because The Bible says pride comes before a fall. Ouch, right? We don't have to take that spill if we choose to humble ourselves and walk in humility like Jesus walked in humility. When we choose to use this towel and we get it dirty and we serve with a servant's heart and we stay humble knowing that anything he asks me to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to do it. I don't care if I think it's beneath me. I don't care if it's too hard. I'm going to do it. We get a servant's towel and we've served like Jesus with a servant's heart. In John 13, this is what happened after Jesus stood back up with his towel. And I didn't give you this scripture verse because I added it this morning. But it's in John 13, 12, and I'll just read it. It says, when he's finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. And he looked at them in the eyes and he said, do you understand what I've done for you? He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that's what I am. But now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So Jesus looked him in the eyes and he said, look, I did this because I had to show you what life was going to be like when I'm gone. What life has to be like when I'm gone. And he looked him in the eyes and he said, be a servant. Get your towels dirty because that's what this kingdom's about. It's not about title. Right? It's not about our comfortability, but it's about living with a servant's heart. Could you imagine? Could you imagine if we all get this together? If we do our best to outserve one another, to love one another? It's in the little things. It's in the little things. The Holy Spirit will start checking your heart. When you lay it before him and you say, God, give me a servant's heart, he'll start checking you. Just yesterday at that conference, a lady, we're standing at a little table eating, she's choking. And I'm like, let me get you some water. And I went to grab her some water. I'll be honest with you, that's normally not me. Not because I don't want to serve, but just because I don't notice. My mind's on what I have to do. My mind's on how I'm feeling. My mind's on something else. It's not that I don't want to, but because I've been preparing for this message, because I've been saying, God, if I'm going to talk about this, I gotta live this. And he's showing me the little ways that I can say, you know what? I want to serve. How can I serve? What can I do for you? How can I show you his sincere love? Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is living with a servant's heart. If we do this, if we take our towel, if we commit to get it dirty, man, his light is going to shine through us. And we're not going to see the end of what God's going to do. Because this upside-down kingdom is attractive. It's not the way the world does it, right? The world looks for position. The world looks for authority and power. They want to know who's the strongest in the room, because I got to beat you. That's not how it is here. That's not how it is here. It's who can I serve? How can I love? How can I get on my knees? So that's why I gave you all a towel today. I thought, you know what, if we all take towels, and you don't have to get them dirty, you can hang them on your refrigerator or stick them somewhere where you see them every day, but that would be a simple reminder to ask the Holy Spirit to check us. Check us throughout our days. Start at home. Take the towel with you in the car. Take it to your work. Put it on your desk. How can I serve those around me so that God's servant's heart is living and breathing inside of me and I'm modeling who Jesus is in my life? Can we pray? All right. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, that you teach us by your example, that you teach us with your word. God, the precious word that guides us, it's a light to our feet and a lamp to our way. God, I just thank you. that we can look to you like we sang this morning. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. We know that you love us. We know that you're protecting us and that you're guiding us. God, I pray that each and every one of us in here would commit to creating culture this morning, to creating culture in a community and relationship that everyone wants to belong to. God, that we serve one another with sincere love, not looking for titles or position, but looking to really represent who you are. So thank you for your example of washing the feet of your disciples. Thank you, God, that we can look and we can model compassion, going to the least of these, surrendering our need for significance, just keeping our eyes on you and knowing that you have said good things about us and you love us. We look to you for our significance. Thank you, Father, that you meet needs. God, that anyone in here that's come broken, that's come hurting, God, there might be some in here that need to know you for the very first time. They might have never asked Jesus to come into their heart, or maybe it's been way too long, and they haven't been serving you, they haven't been following you. And this morning, there's been something said, and the Holy Spirit's just been nudging their hearts to maybe come up and pray with someone, or just make a recommitment in their life that they would say, you know what, I want to do this. I'm all in. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to create a servant's heart in myself so that I can show the world how much he loves them. Or maybe there's someone in here that needs healing in their body or would stand in the gap for a family member that needs healing. God, I thank you that your anointing is here. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always present in time of need, that we can call on you and you are the great miracle worker, that you heal our bodies when we're sick and you make us whole when we're hurting. So this morning, if that's you, I'm going to ask the altar workers to come up just for a second. And you can just stand by the side because we do have something that we're going to do after service. But if you need prayer, we want you to have that opportunity to pray with someone. So Jesus, thank you that we can come to you and that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're also going to do something before everybody goes. We have this great opportunity to bless Adam and Jenna this morning, and Adam's here, and I'm just grateful for him. I've had a privilege to see them minister to students in Beulah Beach, actually, that first retreat. And he got in the room there, and him and Jenna just began to prophesy over the students, and you could see their eyes were like, wow. You could see God minister through them, and they definitely have that prophetic gift. But they're also very loving. I've noticed that and witnessed that from the first time I went to, I forget the name of the church, but we brought our whole youth group to you guys. And you were sitting up on the stage, and I'm like, this couple's pretty amazing. And Jenna was sitting next to him, and I just thought, you know, I want to know them. And how caring they are as well. They're just so caring for their students, and they get involved, they get down deep and get involved in their lives. And so I just want to value them today and honor them today. And I want to read a scripture verse. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are well worth double of honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And so I looked up that scripture verse, and it says precious value. And so that's what I just want to speak over you today, that you have precious value. And I want to receive an offering for Adam and Jenna this morning. And I also want to invite you guys to bless them, not just with a gift, but also with your love, with your prophetic words, with your hugs, and with your blessing. Because that's very important. It's very important to me, and it's very important to them. You know, I hope we're not ending our relationship, because I love you guys very much. Pastor Mike and Trina, would you come up, and we'll just ask, can we pray for you? Okay. And we'll do that in a second. They'll come up. But if you want to prepare an offering for them right now, we'll do that. We'll prepare an offering, and then we'll pray for Adam and Jenna. Just bless them and honor them. let's do that while we're while they're taking the offering. We'll just come on up and pray for you. When after you give, just extend your hand out and let's just pray and cover them.
Just extend your hands forward.
Father,
you know.
God.
You know what's in our hearts. You formed us in our mother's womb. You knew us before we knew ourselves. And I believe that you have a special purpose for each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you would bless and anoint Adam and Jenna. That you would make it perfectly clear to them what their purpose is. Why you created them, why you've anointed them, why you've blessed them and created them who they are. And Father, I ask you to open the next door for Adam. Because I know you're calling him. You're calling him to be something great for your kingdom. You're calling him to be last. So that he could be first. You're calling him to get his towel dirty. In a specific way. That you've created him for. So Father, with all of us in this room together. You say where two or more are gathered. We're just thankful for your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we ask for a covering and a blessing of favor and love and joy and peace and guidance. Father, be the lamp unto their feet and the light unto their path. Help them serve you with all their heart, mind, and soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
Guide them and lead them through each and every day. Father, we know that you our God that can open doors that no man could open, and you surely close doors that no man can close. And I ask you to do that on Adam and Jenna's behalf. That you'd speak to them loudly and clearly. And Father, it's only in you that we trust. So we ask it in Jesus' mighty name.
For giving and just showing our love, and just so you know, you're welcome to give directly to Adam as well, but 100% of that is going to go to Pastor Adam and Pastor Jenna. So can I just welcome you to come up and get prayer if you need prayer for healing in your body, for healing in your heart, or if you want to rededicate your life or even ask Jesus to be Lord for the very first time. Don't leave until you do that, okay? Are we going to worship?